Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back, Chicago. This is Yaron Brook, and you're listening to The Radical for Capitalism. And we've been talking the last couple of shows, we've been talking about the capitalism works. The capitalism is an incredible benefit to mankind, that it's produced unbelievable values for mankind. It's raised our standard of living. It's created this incredible, incredible technological society that we have today. It's solved the problem of poverty in the world. We have far fewer poor people in the world because of capitalism. Capitalism is the solution. Freedom, free markets are the solution to mankind's material problems. So the mystery that we talked about in the first show, and we talked about a little bit last time, the mystery is, why do we abandon it? And we are abandoning it. We talked about that last time. We talked about the Federal Reserve. We talked about government. We talked about regulation. All the constraint being placed on markets. All the constraints being placed on freedom. Capitalism doesn't exist today, not in any significant sense. There is no capitalism today. There is no free market. There are no free markets today in the United States. So what's going on? Why is it that every time we have a crisis, we blame it on capitalism? Every time there's a problem out there, every time there's any issue, economic issue, it's business that gets blamed. Never regulations, never government, never politicians, anybody else other than a businessman. And usually it's not just any businessman. It's particular businessmen. Usually it's bankers. Oh, Wall Street. We had a caller last week. The callers wanted to blame Wall Street for everything last week. And this has been going on for 2,000 years. What is it about business? What is it about banking in particular that we find so offensive? That we regulate, we control everything in order to limit it, to constrain business, to constrain bankers. Because we don't trust them. Why don't we trust them? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to have a guest on today, Peter Schwartz. He's got a new book out that gives the answer to this question. A new book out that is actually answers exactly the question that we're asking here. And the book is called In Defense of Selfishness. In Defense of Selfishness. Wow, that's quite a title, right? Provocative. Who would defend selfishness? Well, think about what business is. Let's think about what business is and what business does, right? What's business about? Why do we go into the marketplace? Why do we engage in economic transactions? On both sides. On the side of the guy who produces the goods and on the side of the guy who consumes the goods, guy or gal. Not going to be sexist on this show. Okay, so why does Steve Jobs, build iPhones? Why does Apple sell us iPhones? What are they doing it for? Are they doing it to maximize social utility, to make society better? What motivates them every morning to get up, to engage in business? What motivates you every day to get up if you're a businessman out there? To engage in business, to create new products, to put them out on the market. I mean, you guys work really hard. In spite of what all the leftists and socialists and communists tell us, you guys work really, really hard. What motivates you? What drives you? Well, one of the things that drives you, I think, all of you, you're probably not going to admit it. You probably feel a little uncomfortable saying it. But one of the things that drives you, I think it drives all of us, right? That's why we go to work. It's why we're ambitious. It's why we strive to do more is money. We're trying to make more money. So we produce, we create, we build. That's what, you know, that's in order to make a living, to feed ourselves, to feed our family, to make our life a better life. Money. It's about money. For whom? Money for us, for ourselves. You know, nobody out there is selling you stuff in the mall because they love you. They don't care about you. They only care about you in the sense that you're going to buy stuff from them and help them make a living for themselves. We're all in this to make a living. And that's a good thing because we have to take care of ourselves. Otherwise, who's going to take care of us? Who's responsible for us? Anyway, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll talk about later. So that's one of the reasons we go to work. That's one of the reasons we work hard. It's one of the reasons we produce. It's one of the reasons we sell. It's one of the reasons we engage in business. But I'm sure a lot of you businessmen out there are saying, yeah, yeah, money's important and I need to make money. But some of you might have more money than you can spend. So you've already taken care of yourself and your family. You don't need the money in a sense of need it for consumption. So what else motivates people to go to work? Well, hopefully, it's the love of it. It's the passion. Steve Jobs, for example, in building the iPhone and making Apple computers, he loved it. He loved making beautiful things. He loved producing amazing stuff. But whose passion was it? He, again, didn't care about the customers other than as consumers. It's his passion, his ideal, his vision of beauty that made possible the Apple, our computers, the beautiful products, the amazing products that Apple builds and we all consume. So what motivates people to go to work, to be productive, to create stuff, to build stuff, is their own self-interest, whether it's reflected in a financial self-interest or whether it's expressed in their passion, in what they love to do, in what they love, in the fact that they love to produce and they love to work. And I encourage all of you, if you don't, find a job that you love. Okay, before the break, I have to finish this point. So let's skip over. That's producers. Producers are self-interested. They're about themselves. They're about producing for themselves. What about consumers? Why do you go to the mall? Why do you go to the mall? How many of you go to the mall? How many of you go to the mall in order to make sure that your fellow man have jobs, because you really care about those people who are selling stuff at the mall, you know, all those salesmen. And you want those companies to make a profit, and you want the economy, the U.S. economy, to thrive. You know, I like to say that I bought my first iPhone in 2008 as the economy was spiraling out of control, you know, because I wanted to stimulate the U.S. economy, and we know that consumption stimulates the economy. So the way to build, the way to create the economy is for me to consume. So I consume not for my own sake. No. I consume for the benefit of others. Now, of course, this is all garbage. You're talking nonsense. I don't think any single one of you out there consumes for the common good, consumes for your fellow man. You consume for you. You're trying to make your life better. You're trying to buy stuff that is cool, makes you feel good, makes you more productive, is good for you, makes your life a good life. This is the point I want to make, and then we're quickly going to take a call from Sean, quickly, because I've got a guest on in the second segment. This is the point I'm trying to make. Both producers and consumers are in the marketplace for self-interested reasons. Both of them are in there for self-interested reasons. Producers produce for themselves. Consumers consume for themselves. That's their purpose. And that's why we hate them, because what will we think about self-interest? We'll talk about what we think about self-interest right after we take this very quick call from Sean. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am, Yaron. I wanted to call you because I wanted to compliment you. I wanted to tell you you won me back. I thought your opening monologue was superb. I thought it was fantastic because it touched upon the greatest ruiner of capitalism is the corrupt corporatist. And that's what I was looking for from you always. Because I find a corrupt capitalist far more offensive than a communist, because a communist at least has the courage to stand up and display his hypocrisy. His,
I'm afraid I'm going to lose
no
you
true
again
altruism,
because
you find out
what
that
did
that
I
is
say?
The most self-serving of all.
What did I say during the opening monologue that led you to believe that I'm anti-corrupt corporatist? I am anti-corrupt corporatist. What did I say
because
in the opening monologue?
Said we have
the fact
no
that they're self-interested.
And
oh, we
right.
have no free markets. We know that we have no free markets. But we don't. But why don't we have free markets?
Because it's been bastardized. Because all there are
by
the
whom?
Three main. Well, it's been bastardized by the corrupt politician and the corrupt capitalist. Right.
And behind all of them. Behind all of them, I will argue, is the corrupt intellectual, and behind the corrupt intellectual is a fundamentally corrupt moral system that is destroying capitalism and makes capitalism impossible. Thanks, Sean, for calling back. I'm going to have to cut you off here because we've got a guest coming on, but keep listening. I think you'll find the next segment really interesting. We're going to dig into this issue of what makes it impossible for capitalism to thrive in the world today.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikki and Nichelle taking a look at traffic. In conjunction with heavy delays inbound on the Edens, we're now seeing a crash at Elston in the left lane. It's 35 to Montrose from Lake Hook, 21 on the flip. Inbound Kennedy's bumper to bumper from O'Hare to downtown's an hour, and then heading on the opposite side's a half an hour. Inbound Ike is not any better. It is congested between North Avenue to the Tri-State. Delays pick up at Wolf, and then you'll see them all the way to the Circle in Pockets. It's 55 to the post from Thorndale, 38 heading on the outbound side. The Stevensons an hour and 6 to Lakeshore Drive from 355, 39 on the flip, and inbound on the Ryan. That jams up at the Stevenson to the Circle. It's 19 minutes to downtown from 95th. It's 65 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 59. Tomorrow's high is 82. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The University of Colorado Boulder has launched an online system where students can report people who make, quote, hurtful statements.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
Has anybody ever said anything insulting to you when you were at the great Northwestern University?
When I was at Northwestern, and I'm not kidding, I was the most hated person on campus. They never said anything complimentary to me. All it was insults. Does that shock you?
No.
Exactly. It shouldn't. It doesn't shock me either.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings, starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPOR. RT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Too many Americans are living without dental insurance, which means they might not be getting even the most basic care for their families. After all, a simple cleaning can cost $100, and other procedures like crowns and root canals can cost hundreds more. That's why at Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, we're proud to offer dental coverage that Americans can afford for less than a dollar a day, with the freedom to choose any dentist you want and never pay a deductible. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can help pay for over 300 procedures, everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies no matter what, even for folks on Medicare. We're on a mission to help provide Americans with good dental insurance. So please, if you don't have coverage, call 1-800-929-3239 for all the details. That's 1-800-929-3239 to receive a free information kit directly by mail. 1-800-929-3239.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So I'm excited because we got Sean back. This is Yaron Brooks, and you're listening to Yaron Brooks Show. And now we've got, as a guest, on the show, Peter Schwartz. I'm particularly excited about having Peter on because he is he's got a new book out in defense of selfishness that I mentioned earlier, and he is going to be in Chicago this week to talk about the book. So, Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Yaron. Glad for the opportunity to talk about something as controversial as selfishness.
Wonderful. So tell us pretty quickly, kind of a short summary of what the book is about, and then what you're going to be speaking on June 9th.
Well, they're both the same things. The book is about what selfishness actually means. That is contrary to the common strawman view of selfishness, as represented by some amoral predator like a Bernard Madoff or Attila the Hun. My view is that selfishness does not entail the victimization of one person by another. Rather, the genuinely selfish person is someone who lives an honest, productive, self-respecting life, and he deals with other people by exchange, by offering value for value to mutual benefit, and he doesn't sacrifice either himself to others or others to himself. That's what genuine selfishness means. That's what the book is about, and that's what my talk will be about.
So would you say that a businessman, in principle, an ideal businessman, is being selfish?
Certainly an ideal businessman, yes. He would seek a profit, not by cheating his customers, not by being dishonest, but by producing something of genuine value, which people are then willing to buy, and he makes money off it, and both parties benefit. So certainly an honest, ideal businessman is a good representative of rational self-interest.
And to what extent do you think that the regulations we have, the controls we have placed on us by government, the government intervention in the economy, is driven by a distrust of that selfish businessman because he's selfish and because of the distorted view of selfishness we have
yes.
in the culture?
Yes, it's wider than that, because look all around us. We have this paternalistic mentality entrenched in government. We have the government believing that it has to determine what's good for us. It has to tell us, you know, what foods we can eat, so it has to ban trans fats, or it has to make us wear seatbelts and motorcycle helmets, or tell us which medicines we're allowed to take, whether we should trust our doctor's judgment, or rather, we can't trust our doctor's judgment. We have to rely on the FDA to determine what drugs we can take and so forth. So there's an obvious question here, and that is, if the regulators say that people just are unable to determine their own interests because we're just going to act impulsively and do whatever we feel like, how is it that the regulators somehow know what's good for us? What distinguishes the regulators' mentality from everyone, from the private citizens? And there's only one answer. The only answer is the different motive. The regulators, the individual's motive is self-interest, and the regulator's motive is he's disinterested. His motive is altruism. And the reason this is an explanation is because this hostility, this opposition to selfishness, to pursuing your self-interest, is not just moral, but it's cognitive. The people think if you are acting selfishly, if you're pursuing your self-interest, you cannot think objectively. You can't think logically. To them, if you want something, you're just going to act on whatever emotions you feel like. You're just going to take whatever snake oil medicine some guy on the street offers you. You're going to fritter away all your money while you're working, and then one day you're going to wake up and you're old and retired, and you say, gee, I'm old and retired. Where did all my money go? So therefore, the government has to step in and take care of you, because the government is acting disinterestedly. It's acting out of altruistic motives, so therefore it can be objective and logical. That's the premise here, and the arch example of the an entity that is motivated by self-interest and the government says can't be objective and logical is the businessman pursuing profit.
So it's doing two things. It's restricting the businessman because his selfishness will lead him to be corrupt and to deceive us. And it's protecting us because our self-interest will lead us to not save and not do what supposedly is good for us. And they have supposedly our better interests in mind.
Exactly. In any transaction you're involved in, there are two parties. If there's a buyer and a seller, both are pursuing their self-interest. The businessman offers some product, and the buyer says, I'm going to pay for it or not. They're both making their decision based on what's beneficial to them, and the regulator says neither party knows what's really good for them because they're just consumed by their emotional passions, their impulses, and they say, you know, businesses will pursue to make an extra nickel today. A businessman will do anything, even if it means he'll go bankrupt tomorrow. Why? Because businessmen can't think as far as tomorrow. All they're consumed by is the impulse of the moment.
And where did this view come from? How did we get to the point where we associate that irrationality with business and we such impotence with just the general population?
Well, it comes from the hostility to selfishness, which itself comes from a distorted view of what selfishness actually is. To many people, the idea of selfishness means acting on whatever you happen to desire. You experience some whim, you want something, you go and grab it. And we've had many philosophers who've endorsed this view, like Hobbes, for example. This is his view of human nature, that people are just inherently in conflict with one another. Somebody has what you want to grab it. You have what somebody else wants, he wants to grab it from you. There's a war of all against all. That's what self-interest means. And that's reducing man to the role of animals, of a range of the moment mentality, where they can't think and plan for the future, which is exactly a perversion of the truth, because, in fact, private individuals and private businesses can and do plan for the future rationally, whereas government intervention, when they base their decisions on this indefinable public interest, then you wind up with an irrational product like the ramshackle bankrupt Social Security system.
Yeah, so what is it about Social Security, for example? You know, why does it have so much support in spite of the fact that it is bankrupt and it makes no sense?
Because
from
it's
a
altruistic,
financial, economic
because we're
perspective.
Not selfishly allowing people to decide for themselves with their own money, the money they have earned, to decide how they're going to spend it, how they're going to provide for their own retirement. Instead, we've got the collective making that decision. The government takes money from you and decides how we're going to set up the retirement system, how much you're going to put in, how much you're going to take out. And there's in fact no objective basis for it. It's based on political expediency, which is why it amounts to a Ponzi scheme and can't be sustainable indefinitely.
And the people accept it because they've all bought into the philosophy, the morality of altruism and the rejection of self-interest.
Yes, because any time you say, well, can I keep my own money and decide for myself? They'll say, no, you can't do that. What about people who are not going to be able to plan for the future? What about people who are going to irrationally spend their money as soon as it comes in? So the government says, we're going to set up a system by which we irrationally spend the money as soon as it comes in, and there's nothing left for the future.
So Peter is speaking on June 9th in Chicago at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel and Towers. There's reception that starts and refreshments, free refreshments, at 6:30. The talk begins at 7 p.m. It's open to the public, so we encourage you all to show up. Peter, the book is out. It's available. People can buy it in Amazon, pretty much anywhere, right?
Definitely anywhere. They can buy it anywhere. It's in bookstores. It's online. It's in my house. They can get it in.
Well, they're not going to come to your house. Defense of Selfishness. Go out and buy the book. Go to the talk, and we'll be back in 5 minutes, and we'll talk to Peter for another segment.
Hey, Dave, did you hear about that story?
What story? Was it on Facebook?
No. Come on, everybody's talking about it. I can't believe you don't know what I'm talking about.
Was it on TV? Twitter? Where did you hear about it?
It was on AM 560, The Answer. I heard it on the radio.
Hear about it before everyone else.
AM radio.
Hear about it on AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carib McHugh. Presidential politics on the menu today as several GOP White House hopefuls gather in Boone, Iowa.
This is the Joni Ernst roast and ride. Nearly met a Republican senator from Iowa who defeated Tom Harkin in the last election. Had a motorcycle ride from Des Moines all the way up to the Central Iowa Expo just outside of Boone earlier today. Features seven presidential candidates. Rick Perry was also there. He did his own separate ride with a bunch of military veterans.
Fox's John Roberts, Senator Marco Rubio, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker among those in attendance. Today, the 6th of June, marks 71 years since the U.S. and other Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, to begin the liberation of Europe from the Nazis. D-Day, the grandson of the man who was president back then, helped set the tone at the World War II Memorial in Washington.
On D-Day, the Allies took the war into the face of the Nazi war machine.
Toby Roosevelt, grandson of FDR. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikia Nichelle, taking a look at traffic. Inbound Edens is now 42 minutes to Montrose from Lake Cook. We did have a crash at Elston, however, that's been cleared. But heavy delays still remain between Old Orchard and Montrose. On the opposite side, expect a backup at Montrose to Elston with a 20-minute trip to Lake Cook from Montrose. It's stop and go inbound on the Kennedy. It's an hour to downtown from O'Hare, a half an hour heading outbound. Inbound Ike is at 55 minutes to the post from Thorndale. On the flip, 39 minutes. It's congested inbound on the Stevenson. You're looking at an hour and three to Lakeshore Drive from 355 and 39 heading on the opposite side. And inbound on the Ryan's heavy at the Stevenson. It's 65 degrees and clear tonight. Low is 59. Tomorrow's high is 82 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When you hear the word selfishness, what comes to mind? Typically, it's a word used to describe people like Bernard Madoff or Attila the Hun. On the other hand, selflessness is generally celebrated and associated with friendship and love. Peter Schwartz, distinguished fellow at the Ayn Rand Institute, has written a new book, In Defense of Selfishness, Why the Code of Self-Sacrifice is Unjust and Destructive. This book challenges the common view and offers a radically different view of selfishness and altruism. Schwartz refutes the ethics of self-sacrifice in all its forms, and shows that friendship and love are acts, not of self-sacrifice, but of self-interest. Peter will be discussing these and other ideas in his book at a talk and book signing in downtown Chicago on Tuesday, June 9th at 7:30 p.m. Join Peter at his talk at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel and Towers. That's 7:30 p.m. this Tuesday, June 9th at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel and Towers. For information, go to ari.aynrand.org/events. ari.aynrand.org/events.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment, as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Over the past decade, through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, they have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. Right now, they are placing more than 5,000 copies of Anthem, The Fountainhead, and Atlas Shrugged in schools right here in Chicago. Since 2003, they have placed more than 50,000 of Ayn Rand's novels in the Chicagoland area. You can help reach young minds today. You can help reach more students within this listening area. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at aynrand.org/support. That's aynrand.org/support.
Our family had a savings account until our air conditioner needed replacing.
We had a vacation fund before our refrigerator had a meltdown.
My family has no savings and our water heater just quit.
Sadly, sometimes it only takes one home system or appliance breakdown to bust your budget. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield protects more of your hard-earned money because they help pay your covered repairs for you. For valuable free information, go to ahs.com or call 1-800-552-9822. Who wants to pour money into repairs for things like your air conditioner, refrigerator, plumbing, oven, or washer when you get the budget protection you deserve from American Home Shield? Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade called. Some exclusions and limitations apply. It's up to you. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs yourself, or let AHS help pay covered repairs for you. Protect more of your hard-earned money. For valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, go to AHS.com. That's AHS.com. Or call 1-800-552-9822.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Welcome back. We have Peter Schwartz, a distinguished fellow at the Ayn Rand Institute, with us to talk about his new book that just came out this week, In Defense of Selfishness. You should all be buying this book. Go to Amazon. You can download it electronically. You can buy a hard copy. You should be reading this book. If you want to understand today's America, if you want to understand why this country is moving in the wrong direction, why capitalism is on the decline, why statism is on the rise, why government intervention increases all the time, this is the book you should be reading. So go buy it and come to Peter's talk on June 9th next week. So Peter, what is it about? Explain to us what altruism really means. I think there's a lot of confusion. Most people out there, when they say altruism, seem to think it's being nice to people. It's opening doors for you know, old ladies. What is really behind altruism?
Yes, the basic idea of altruism is that you do not have a moral right to exist for your own sake. And the justification, that is the moral justification of your life, lies in the service you provide to others. Altruism says the primary virtue is self-sacrifice. What does that mean? That means you have to give up what's yours if someone else lacks it. Anyone who has a need is entitled morally to have you satisfy that need if you're able. Now, that means that you live to serve others. It means you must be a servant to other people's needs, and I think that's terribly unjust and destructive.
Can you imagine how a business would function if it was really took the ideas of altruism seriously?
Sure. If it took it would last for a couple of days because it couldn't charge anything for its product, right? Because what about people who need the product but can't pay for it, can't afford it? So it would have to give everything away. It couldn't hire the best people as employees because what if there are other people maybe who are not as skilled but who really need the job, and you'd have to hire them? And where would the guy, the businessman, buy his material from? Who would his suppliers be? Not the ones that have the best product, but the ones who have the greatest need. So need is a lack. Need is an absence. It's a zero. It has no value as such. And that's what altruism ultimately demands of you. It demands that the positive be sacrificed to the negative, that whatever values you've created and honestly earned must be given away not to people who deserve something, but to people who don't deserve it, to people who simply lack what you have, and that is what creates a moral claim against you.
So based on the morality of altruism, businessmen are inherently immoral. Successful businessmen, ones who survive more than 2 days, are inherently immoral because they are selfish, and therefore it's no surprise that we so, you know, in some ways in the culture, so despise them.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last sentence.
That we despise them.
Yes,
we look down on them because morally it's offensive.
We regard them as crude, vicious, destructive people. We package them together with Attila the Hun or Bernie Madoff. That is people who lie and cheat and kill just to satisfy their desires. We lump all these people together as selfish, and we therefore, the government, particular people, our intellectuals despise them, and the government controls them. And the result is a system that makes production and prosperity increasingly more difficult.
And what do you make of businessmen who try to use government force in order to enhance their profits?
Well, they're being dishonest, and they should be stopped. They're slitting their own throats by trying to do it that way. Now, we have a system today, unfortunately, which is not capitalism, but it's a mongrelized version, a mixture of some freedom and lots of controls, lots of regulations. Many businessmen have no choice but to try to go lobby Washington, but what they should be lobbying for is not for special favors, but to stop the government from interfering with their honest, productive activities. That's what businessmen should do, and if they instead try to get government to give them favors, to rely on force, they're helping to bring down the whole system of capitalism that their existence depends on.
So, Peter, tell us again about the talk. We've got just a few seconds. The talk next week, and when's it going to be and where?
Okay, the talk is on the 9th in Chicago, in the Chicago Sheraton Hotel. And it starts at 7, but if you want to come early and get nice refreshments, I understand that they'll be available for people who come at 6:30.
Don't miss the talk. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for being on the show today. And good luck with the book sales.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikia Nichelle, taking a look at traffic. Inbound Eaton's is 42 minutes to Montrose from Lake Cook on the flip 20. If you're coming inbound on the Kennedy, it will cost you an hour to downtown from O'Hare. Heading on the opposite sides in half an hour, it's congested inbound on the Ike with a 55-minute trip to the post from Thorndale and 39 on the opposite side. There's heavy delays inbound on the Stevenson. It will cost you an hour and two to Lakeshore Drive from 355 and 39 on the outbound side. Inbound Ryan jams at the Stevenson to the Circle 19 to downtown from 95th. 17 heading outbound. You will see a backup inbound on the Ford at 115th to the Ryan with an 18-minute trip to the Ryan from 8094. It's 65 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 59. Tomorrow's high is 82. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You didn't build that. You don't pay your fair share. Who do you think you are? Ayn Rand knew exactly who you are. Rational, productive, independent. You work hard and use your own judgment. You choose your career path, your lifestyle, your values. You're living the American dream. And now you see that there are people who want to take away what you've created and who will call their lust to loot a virtue. People who think the needs of others is a claim on your money, your work, your life. Well, how can you fight back? That's what they do at the Ayn Rand Institute. They look closely at public policy beyond sound bites and election cycles, at the fundamental moral ideas that frame crucial debates. They focus on reframing the issues in line with reason, egoism, and individual rights to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. Your life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of your happiness. Stand up with them to fight against the sacrifice of your values by making a contribution today at AynRand.org/support. They'll use your money to defend your values.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 21 days by calling 1-800-511-7959. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend, is so small small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 21-day in-home trial. 1-800-511-7959. That's 1-800-511-7959.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So this is the only show in the universe where you will find a host and guests who defend the morality of self-interest, who defend the right of businessmen to make a profit, the virtue of making a profit, and the only show in the universe where we will condemn self-sacrifice. We will condemn altruism as a moral ideal. We will condemn the practice of sacrificing yourself to the so-called common good. We'll condemn the whole idea of a common good, of the public interest. No, this country was founded on the principle of individualism, of self-interest, of people pursuing their happiness. So if you're interested in this big moral debate, if you agree or disagree, you can call in, challenge me, argue with me. Come on. I'm sure there are a bunch of people out there who want to defend altruism. I'm sure there's a lot of people who hate self-interest and who hate businessmen and who hate profit. You can call in 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. In the next two segments, I'll be taking calls. So feel free to come on and challenge me. So let's kind of summarize what Peter Schwartz said. And let me just remind you, you can follow Peter Schwartz on peterschwartz.com. Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z.com. He's got a blog there. It's fascinating. You'll get some terrific intellectual ammunition on this blog. You can also come to his talk June 9th, this coming week, where he's going to talk about in defense of selfishness and the evil of self-sacrifice. Doors open at 6:30. Talk begins at 7 at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel. If you want more information, you can go to ari.aynrand.org, and click on events, and you will find it in the list of events. Chicago, June 9th. He's coming right to you. You should not miss this event. And, of course, go buy his book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever, buy the book. So let's quickly summarize kind of how this connects to the theme we've been talking about. The theme is capitalism is this enormous success. Wherever we try freedom, whatever industry we leave alone, wherever we don't regulate, don't control, don't redistribute, things go phenomenally well. And why then are we negating capitalism? And I would argue, as Peter argued, and we'll keep arguing throughout the show, throughout the many weeks, that when we don't trust self-interest, we want to regulate the businessman, we want to control him, we want to tell him what kind of products. We believe that if the government inspector didn't inspect those elevators out there, all the elevators would fall and kill us, because businessmen make money by killing their customers. Don't you know that? That's the best way to make money, is to kill your customers. McDonald's, if not for food inspectors, would poison us all. And, of course, we as individuals don't have enough common sense. We don't have enough reason. We don't have enough rationality to be able to take care of ourselves. So we rely on government to protect us. This is paternalistic government. This is mother government telling us what we can buy, when we can buy, how much to save, how much to consume. We don't trust self-interest. And it's evil anyway. So what we really want is people to sacrifice. So we can tax people. We can take their money away. We can control them. That's not bad. That's just them sacrificing for the common good, sacrificing for those who need. And our moral obligation, according to the morality of altruism, is to those who need. So we have to give it to them, even if it hurts. Actually, no. What makes it moral is if it hurts. When have you ever seen a saint, a Catholic Church saint who died happy? Saints suffer. That's the whole point. Morality is about suffering. Okay, we got a call. Mike, Mike from Chicago wants to challenge the statement, I think, about Social Security. Mike, you're on the air on the Yaron Brook Show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Yaron. I just want to say that FDR defended his Social Security plan by stating that America, the government, had done a lot for capitalism to make it grow. So therefore, now he's going to help out the poor man have a life savings. And I just want to point that out, that that was a false statement of his, and he was twisting the facts. Actually, the government did not step in to help out capitalism. It more or less interfered with it. And when he did help,
absolutely,
they.
I mean, if anything, the government, you know, the government held back capitalism. The government didn't allow businessmen to do what they could do. They allowed the corrupt businessmen to bribe them, but more importantly, they regulated, they controlled. But yes. But it's more than that. The lie is also the fact that government doesn't help the poor, right?
Right.
What really has allowed poverty to slowly be diminished in the world out there is business. Businessmen create the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Businessmen create the jobs. Businessmen
absolutely
create
true
the goods that allow the poor to rise up from poverty, not government.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, so you know, FDR said very few things in all his years in the White House that were true. Most of what he said
was
BS.
Very deceptive. And I just wanted to point that out. It's something that I think most people don't know. I say that word altruism, a lot of people don't know that word. I think if you went to most high schools and said altruism, they'd say, what's that mean? But if you said self-sacrifice, they'd know what that meant.
Yes, and altruism, thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling. We're going to go for a break in a second here. But you're right. Altruism is not a word that people typically know. Altruism is a term coined by a philosopher in the 19th century called Augustine Comte. And what he meant by altruism is living for others. The purpose of your life, is to serve your fellow man, not to pursue your happiness, to pursue other people's happiness. It's a destructive, horrific morality that we should trash.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Save up to 80% by buying Factory Direct. The jewelry exchange imports and cuts their diamonds direct and manufactures most of their own jewelry. We have many large certified diamonds guaranteed the lowest price. Half-carat solitaires are $4.99, 1-carat $9.90, and 2-carat $19.90. 1-carat certified are $19.90, 2-carats are $59.90. We have hundreds of mountings in stock or can design one for roughly half of what it costs elsewhere. Compare 1-carat diamond and platinum bands that sell elsewhere for $7,300 with ours for just $1,890. 14-carat stackable diamond bands are $99, half-carat anniversary rings $249, 3-stone and halo rings $399, and 1-carat studs are just $599. We guarantee all the jewelry we make to appraise for double. Some restrictions. Buy Factory Direct and save. The Jewelry Exchange in Villa Park, 630-530-0444. That's 630-530-0444. Or jewelryexchange.com.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, in the weeks to come, not only are we going to challenge your ideas about capitalism, about free markets, about government programs, about what goes on in Washington, D.C. and Springfield, Illinois, but we're also going to challenge your most fundamental moral belief. We're going to question what you've been taught by your mother, what you've been taught by your philosophy teachers, by your preachers, by your rabbis. We're going to challenge your most fundamental beliefs, your moral beliefs, because you know what? If we're going to turn this country around, if we're going to go back to the principles of the founding fathers, if we're going to go back to the ideas of capitalism and freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, the individual's pursuit of happiness, we're going to have to go there. We're going to have to challenge those fundamentals, because for the last 100, 200 years, you've been corrupted by an ideology, a moral ideology, an ideology of self-sacrifice that has nothing to do with America, that has nothing to do with capitalism. Now, you still have time to challenge me. You can call in 312-642-5600. You can call in, challenge me, ask questions, whatever you feel like. We've still got like 3 minutes to go. So if you call quickly, we can talk. But, and Sean, I hope I haven't lost you. You know, call in next week. Let me know that you're still on board here. Even those, I just want to cover the businessmen who go to government to seek favors. And we'll talk a lot about this in future shows. But businessmen who go, how does that connect to this? You know what we're taught in business schools? I've got an MBA. I taught in a business school for many years. And you know what is taught in business ethics? What's taught in business ethics is the morality of altruism. And then what the professor tells you, the morality of self-sacrifice, the morality that you cannot practice in business. And then what the professor says is, look, you can't do that. So basically what you're taught is do whatever you can get away with. There are no principles. There are no ideas. There's no morality. In business, there's no morality. That's what we're taught. Because if you pursue profit, if you pursue rational self-interest, that's immoral because that's self-interested. If you pursue self-sacrifice, if you pursue altruism, that's impractical. You go out of business. So what we teach our future business leaders is what we call philosophically, we call pragmatism. Do whatever you can get away with. There's no benefit to living by principle. And whatever you can get away with. So you get businessmen who are cynical about ethics, because ethics in their mind is associated with self-sacrifice. And they don't, therefore, have principles. They don't have a moral system to guide them. They don't have an idea of what is right and what is wrong in fundamental terms. And they're supposed to maximize shareholder wealth, so they're supposed to make money for people, and they've never learned. They've never been taught. They've never been provided with a system to guide them. So what if they use government to get a little bit extra profit? So what if they go to lobby to shut down their competition? Isn't that the way the world is supposed to work? What alternative is there after all? What choice do they have is the way they perceive it. Now, on this show, we will learn that there is a choice, that there are principles, moral principles, ethical principles, that actually will maximize profits, will maximize shareholder wealth, then going to government is self-destructive. It's bad for you. You shouldn't do it because it's not in your self-interest. So we're going to provide them all principles for being successful, for making money, for being profitable, and not for mooching. If you're interested in what you hear on the show, you can follow me at Yaron Brook on Twitter. You can go like me on Facebook, Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. Thank you, Chicago. And I will talk to you all next week, same time, same place.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show. On AM 560, The Answer.
With adoring fans, rabid critics, and very few in between, why does Atlas Shrugged evoke such impassioned responses? Because it grapples with the fundamental problems of human existence, and it presents radically new answers. Atlas Shrugged challenges many conventional notions about good and evil, that sex is a low animal desire, that money is the root of evil, that man